This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report, the podcast that inspires you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And today is Monday, and I'm calling it Missions Monday. And I will do this most Mondays, or every Monday if I can. And today, we're going to talk about a missionary who is very important to me. Her name is Rosella Ridings, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And she has an incredible story, and I think is an inspiration to many on how one person might not be able to do everything, but you can do something. And so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Rosella Ridings. Full disclosure, I've known Rosella since 1968. She was not very old, and neither was I. She and her late husband, Howard, were actually Assemblies of God missionaries on their way to Singapore. And as a teenager, actually, I remember supporting their little ministry in a small way. That's all I had. I was making $1.65 minimum wage back then. That tells you how long ago it was. So, you know, from that setting, I have known their ministry, followed their ministry for many, many years. And then in 1972, I married her sister, who I didn't even know when I first met Rosella. So, full disclosure, Rosella's my sister-in-law. So that means I'm a little bit prejudiced, just a little tiny bit prejudiced. And I'm just so proud of the ministry that the Lord has given her. They later were missionaries to Hong Kong, and then later they pastored for a number of years in the United States. And in the mid-2000s, they moved down here to Orlando, and in 2008, Howard went to heaven, and we still miss Howard. In fact, my pastor the other day in a sermon, just out of the blue, mentioned something that Howard had taught him, and it made me remember him and know the influence that he had. And, you know, when a woman is a widow and, shall we say, retirement age, most people would slow down, but Rosella didn't slow down. She sped up. So we're going to talk that today. So welcome to you, Rosella.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's an honor to be here with you. Thank you.
So you had a heart for missions. You served, of course, with Howard. Not only that, but you lived in New Zealand at one time when your father was really a missionary. They don't usually use the word missionary to first world countries like that, but he really was. He was a missionary and an apostle, and later on he was a missionary evangelist for the last 10 years of his career to the Philippines. So you had a heart for missions, and so what happened to actually have you start a ministry called Metro Hope for Kids?
Well, again, I say it so often, God is amazing. And I was on a trip to Asia. I had gone to the church that we helped to found there in Hong Kong, which is huge now, and going through trials like everybody else right now in Hong Kong. And I was in Singapore, and this minister came and talked to me, and he said, now this is after Metro Hope for Kids was already born, but we're talking about the orphanage. And he said, if you ever can help somebody, I know of an orphanage in India. And I told him, like I told a lot of people that would ask me about helping them, I said, I will pray. If God tells me to, I'll be obedient. Because the main thing in life I have found with God is to obey what he asks us to do. And back in 2008, Howard dies, I made a commitment to God, a fresh commitment. And I said, you tell me what to do, and I'll be obedient. And my life changed. You said I sped up. Yes, I did. It was like my feet didn't hardly touch ground for running. And in 2011, at 4:45 in the morning, I heard the audible voice of the Lord say, you can make a difference in the building at Metro. And I said, yes, Lord, I will be obedient. Now, again, you know, God doesn't give you details whenever he calls you to do anything. I didn't know all that was involved in that. But because of it, Metro Hope for Kids was born. And then, like I was saying, I was in Asia.
Well, let me interrupt to say,
yes,
your ministry really has two parts. And the first part is kind of what gave the name.
Metro Hope for Kids.
And Metro Ministries in New York, Bill Wilson, somebody I've known and supported for many years. And has done an incredible job, first in New York, and now his Sunday school model has really gone around the world.
It is.
Especially in places like the Philippines. And they bought a big building there in
New York.
Bedford-Stuyvesant, I think it's called. And
In Brooklyn.
Yes, well, it's next door.
Yes, it is.
And I've been up there numerous times, and I saw the building before it was finished. And it was a mess, to say the least.
It was awful. Condemned.
And so, of course, they had to raise the money. And you felt that you should help them raise money. Now, you didn't do the whole building, but you were able to do specific things with the money that you brought in.
We did. Well, you know, at that time when God spoke to me, he told me four things. And one, it's not about you. It's about the team. And that was, I felt so relieved that it wasn't God telling me I had to do something by myself. And then he told me that I needed to read the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah built a wall. Well, God was calling me to help rebuild a building. And it has been an amazing thing that people would come alongside of me and went to New York. And Steve, you and Joy went up to New York and saw. And then as things progressed, God just opened the door and we redid the whole commercial kitchen, which is now helping to feed thousands of people. During this challenging time we've been through, we're still feeding them, and some of it comes out of the kitchen. And we have staff there, and we have interns, and a lot of things goes on, and it's such a blessing. But God spoke to my heart, and I just said yes, and then we saw miracles.
And then how did that, you know, New York's a long way from India, so how was it that you got a ministry both places?
God is interesting with us when we obey. Well, I was on, like I said, I was on a trip to Asia ministering in Hong Kong and Singapore, and this pastor spoke to me and asked me if I would help an orphanage in India, and I said, I will pray. If God tells me to, I will. I came back home on July the 4th, 4:45 in the morning, the second time in my life I heard the audible voice of the Lord. And he said, you can do something for the little girls in the orphanage in Nagaland. Now, you folks that are listening today, you probably don't know where Nagaland is. I didn't either. I would say 9 out of 10 people do not know Nagaland. But God did. And he knew there were some little girls that needed the help that we have been able to give.
Now, I didn't know where Nagaland was either, and I like geography. I pay attention to geography, but it's in the northern part of India. It's primarily English-speaking, and I was surprised to find out it's primarily Protestant.
It's Baptist. I mean, they said on Wikipedia it is Baptist.
Well, I happen to know that there, or someone told me at least, that there were 500 Assemblies of God.
Yes.
And that's more than there are in the state of Florida. I don't really know
that's
how to compare
right.
it, because I think of India as being Hindu, and I was just kind of surprised. So there you are in Nagaland, and this.
Yes.
Tell us about the orphanage. Tell us what you found when you went there.
Oh, my. It was so exciting. You know, first of all, I had to find out what God was talking about, because I didn't know. And I kept, Lord, help me, you know. And I remembered the pastor that had spoken to me. I emailed him that morning, and he said, yes, yes, yes. And he sent me pictures and told us about One Dang Kai Orphanage in Nagaland. And the city is actually called Dimapur. I have to back up to whenever I contacted Mr. Kai Khan, the man that established the orphanage. That morning, I emailed him, and I said, all I can say is what God said, and I repeated. And I got back a message from him, and he said, oh, this is God. Last night, we had a group praying at the orphanage, and one of the ladies said, I have a vision. I have a vision of a very large bird bringing a bag and putting it on top of the orphanage. And I hear the Lord saying, this means somebody from far away is going to help us. And the next morning, my email arrived saying, God told me I can do something. That was the beginning, and it has been the most amazing 4 years. We have been doing something. And Steve, you and Joy have been on the team.
We really have. And of course, because you're family, of course, we have a heart for what you do. But, you know, what you've done has gone, you know, way beyond just individual donors have done for you.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, as I recall you describing it, because, you know, we, you know, in just informal settings over meals or whatever, we would hear about it. And they had a very small place, and it would flood every time they had the rainy season. Which is a mess.
Yes.
And so you had a vision to help them build a new facility. So how does a single lady who, I guess you don't have any other paid staff on your ministry.
No.
Build an orphanage, because these have to be very expensive.
Well, you know, it's like when God spoke to me, I just said yes, not having a clue what all was involved. And then different people would ask me things. Well, I could answer that. And different people said, well, I want to be a part. I want to help, one after the other. And then I went there to Nagaland and was with them for like 8 or 9 days. And it was so amazing. You know, they're in this small place, an old rented building that leaks. Half the time the bathrooms don't work. And, you know, sometimes the water is cut off. And during the flooding season, you know, nothing can happen. And I am in there and I'm meeting these girls and praying with them and talking to them and seeing life from their side of the world. And, you know, my heart was just going out. My daughter told me before I left, she says, Mom, you know you can't bring them all back with you. But, you know, when I'm there, I'm seeing these precious children, and I'm wanting them all. But it was true. I couldn't bring them back. But my heart was so full wanting to help them. And then after I'd been back a little while, Mr. Kaikon said, I have found some property. And I said, yes, that's wonderful. I think we can help you. We helped him. We helped buy that property. And, you know, I'm not even thinking about building an orphanage. I guess God allowed my mind not to expand that big, because that would be overwhelming to me. And one day, Steve says to me, I guess you want me to help you raise money for the orphanage. And I just, my face, I don't know if you remember my face, but I'm going, I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, this is about you and your ministry, not me, but I guess it's part of the
story.
But
that was part of the story.
Yeah.
And from that, funds started coming in. You started helping, and other people in other areas started giving towards the orphanage, the actual building. And I'm so excited today.
Well, first of all, you raised $9,000, which...
For the property.
For the land. And, you know, on one hand, that's not very much money in terms of real estate. On the other hand, it's a lot of money for a small ministry to raise just from the donors that support you.
Right.
And then you started raising a couple more thousand. And actually, it was Christian Life Missions, which is our nonprofit partner.
But you had to ask me.
Well... you know,
that's
it's like,
true.
I remember asking you how much it was going to cost, because I had no idea. And it's a little hard to figure out, because we think in U.S. dollars, and of course they have a different currency.
Oh, yes.
And the currency varies almost by the day, depending on what governments do and, you know, who knows why. But I think we came up with it would cost about $160,000.
Well, Mr. Kaikon, at our request, I asked him if he could give us an approximate what it would cost to build it. And he sent me these figures, and his original figures were like maybe 148, something like that. So knowing business enough that I do, I thought, okay, well, maybe 150 would cover it.
And so Christian Life Missions was able to raise, with our readers and our donors, we've done this for years in Charisma Magazine, we will share a need, or we'll have a story about something that really touches people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm carrying on the legacy by the late Robert Walker, who started this in 1956. And over the years, millions of dollars have been raised for lots of things. A couple of ministries have actually kind of launched because somebody had a vision and people came alongside them. So this was kind of what we do. And then when there were disasters like 9/11, like the tsunami in 2004, we've been able to raise money. So it was kind of like a project. But the whole $160,000 did not come in. But then over time, other people have come alongside you. And so tell us about the building of the property and kind of where you stand now, because really there's a need that people can respond to now.
Yes, they can. We still have a need, that's for sure. And, you know, the need will be ongoing because presently we can only hold 24, supposedly, in this rented building. But in the new one, we will be able to have 48. And recently, the Indian government came and dropped off at our door 13 little boys, which we are a girls' orphanage. And at the present time, 8 of them have been with us now for 2 months in this crowded little area. So we are really desperate for our new building, which will hold 48, which is exciting. And we also have, can I tell about the little babies?
Please.
We have little babies there. And in the last 3 years, we're now set up with the government that we are an adoption agency as well. And 2 weeks ago, and on our newsletter, I'll hold it up, shall I? I put a picture of this precious little baby that was found in a cement bag in a drainage by the road. And somebody walking by heard a noise and picked up the baby and brought him to our orphanage. We took him to the hospital, got him checked out, and now he is in our orphanage waiting for parents to adopt him. And to my amazement, we have 5 children here in America. They came from Nagaland. My question is, how did those people find out about us? But however they did, we have 5 babies here. And, you know, if anybody was interested in adopting, you can go to our website and or either go to Facebook and I will answer your questions.
Why don't you tell people how they can contact you?
Well, you can contact me through the website, metrohopeforkid.org. There's a comment page on there and you can write to me there. Or on Facebook, I'm Rosella Angel Writings, and you can message me and I will quickly answer you.
And I've seen some really cute videos of the children singing. You know, of course, they're educated. They just seem so bright and so cute and so loving, and they love Jesus.
They are.
And are those little videos on YouTube somewhere where people could find them?
You know, I'm in the process of building a new website, and they will be on that one. So keep watching and check it out all along. And I'll be putting notices out when the website be open, which I'm believing for in the next 2 or 3 days. But education is an important part of what we do there. Because in India, as many of you know, there's not much of a future for a girl without an education. You know, they can be a housekeeper, they can go into prostitution, but there's not much more. So we put a high stress on education. And last June, we had our first child to graduate from college, top of the class, gave that speech, and she has been at our orphanage since 5 years of age. So, you know, that's the class that we are. We believe in raising these children up, giving them a future filled with God and with hope. Yes, they are taught how to pray. They are taught how to sing. They are part involved in the local churches. And when we get into this new ministry, we'll have a little chapel, and we're going to be starting an outreach to other children in our area. We've got big goals.
And that's so exciting. And really, the reason I wanted to have you on my podcast is because I think your story is so inspirational.
Thank you.
And, you know, I hope that God will touch the hearts of people, even to say what you said, I can do something.
I can.
And of course, I hope that some people have a heart to come alongside you and those
Thank
girls
you.
In Nagaland, because I think you still need to raise $10,000 or $15,000. And of course, there's ongoing expenses.
Yes.
It's got to be furnished and so forth, but it's just a beautiful facility. Of course, I've only seen pictures, and on the podcast, people can't see the pictures, but if they go to your website, they can.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm just trying to make a connection, even with focusing on missions every Monday, because people need to get a heart for missions, because Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and many of us can't.
That's right.
But those of us who can't can send people and can help.
Yes.
And, you know, right now there are just so many problems in the world, and we can't solve all of them, but maybe we can help with a few. We can do something.
That's right.
And so as we wrap this up, I'll give you the last word.
When God spoke to me, I said, God, I'm too little. I don't know. And then my heart sprang up and my voice got strong. And I said, yes, God, I can do something. I didn't know at that point what the something was, but God did. And I was obedient. And I really know you can do something. All you have to do is say, yes, God, you show me what to do. I heard a long time ago that when you give to a ministry that is doing something, that you are part of the reward, that you receive a reward. And when you give to help these little girls or other children of the world, you are receiving a reward in heaven. I thank you, but God thanks you, and you will be blessed. I just suggest to you, tell yourself, I can do something, and God will show you. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share today. It is an exciting life to see what God does. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing, because your excitement and your faith and your vision is so infectious, and I hope that people are inspired. I hope that you will share this podcast.
I hope people that are watching will
share it, because that's how we get the word out.
Yeah.
Maybe you know someone who has a heart for this, whether it's in India or New York or whether it's someone else. But I do hope that people will come alongside you, as Joy and I have and many others have, because together we can do more than we can do individually.
That's right.
And that's the message that I want to leave. So thank you for listening to The Strang Report today, the podcast to inspire you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit in order to change the world. Thank you for listening. I'm Stephen Strang. Tune in again tomorrow for another podcast on The Strang Report. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.